into our Bibles tonight, praising God again for His goodness to us in this precious Word, which is our everything. Praise the Lord. But we'll go back to the 9th chapter of Romans. And as we go back to the 9th chapter, and we left off there in the 17th verse, we're just going to continue on with God's precious encouragement to us and letting us fully know that the only thing that He's ever going to embrace in favor, praise God, is the new man. And I thank the Lord has how He has encouraged that through this precious chapter, and it'll go into 10 and 11 as well too. But it also will tell here of God's utter rejection of the old creation. See, with God, brothers and sisters, and we know this, but be thankful for it. It's our praise, it's our rejoicing. But with God, it's all by grace. Praise God. It's all by grace. It's by grace through faith. It's growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful to God that we know that it's His will, His purpose and His doing that He has caused all grace to abound to us. That it is our all-sufficiency in all things. That we have everything we need, praise God, in the grace of God. And the reason for this grace is because grace only magnifies one thing, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace magnifies the Son of God. How simple the gospel of Christ is. It's my Son. Praise the Lord. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Everything is in my Son. Now, we don't deserve this. We understand. But because Christ Jesus, praise God, in His perfect finished work upon that cross, now are we the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? And that is, praise God, the wonderful grace that He's given to us. But on the other side of that, the works of the flesh, see, they magnify man, don't they? The works of the flesh, that's the old creation. And that will always be despised and rejected by God. And eventually, the Word of God tells us, all of that will meet that great white throne of judgment. They will be judged according to their works. And when you're judged according to your works, let me tell you something, you're done. Because all of that is going to be judged and sent off to the lake of fire for eternal death. So we can see how important this is to God and how vital it is for our lives and our continued understanding, brothers and sisters, to praise Him for His grace. I was thankful as the Lord just brought that across my heart on Sunday. Lord, every fiber of my being, don't let me, by the grace of God, miss a moment to praise You for Your grace. It's just too wonderful. It's just too awesome. And in the ages to come, it's going to be the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness to us. So He's just getting us ready for it. And then praise be to God, we're going to get a body like unto His own glorious body. And then to be able to enjoy grace like that, my, oh my. Praise God for His love to us. But getting going here in verse 17. It says, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." So here we are now, brothers and sisters. We're going to continue on with the example of the self-willed old man. And the example is shown right now in Pharaoh. The stiff neck that will not yield to God. And always know this. This is always at his own choosing. Pharaoh chose this. Yes, he did. God knew it. He foreknew it. We have to understand this, brothers and sisters, that all of us are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Word of God tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. But that is not where God intended any man would stay. That is why He so freely gave His only begotten Son, who died for the sins of all men. All men. See, that's why when you get these ones that say, well, you know, I was predestinated for this and you were predestinated for that, and they start to go off in their lust of the flesh is really what it is. It's just their pride and unbelief, because the Word of God does not preach that whatsoever. God would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. He's not a respecter of persons. We know these things, brothers and sisters. But see, He gave His Son, and it's all right there by faith. So if we choose to stay in that state of sin, that was something that we chose of ourselves. We chose that on our own, and God would not have had that for any man. And when you stay in that state, just as Pharaoh did, and it's the state of enmity with God, you hate the truth. See, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either of him or you're of that mammon. The Word of God tells us, and it shows us here, that when you go that way, you'll even grow more defiant. You'll even grow more anti toward the truth. We see that going on in this world today. We know that God is orchestrating the windup here. We know that it's coming. The evil of man is waxing worse and worse. We see the ungodliness just growing and growing. It was something somebody was saying to me again. Oh, well, we got to send some people out to this country and people out to the... I said, if you never seen, you need to send people out to this country. You know, you need to tell the Word of God to your neighbor. And we need to encourage ones to go after the things of God here. But God, brothers and sisters, this didn't catch him by surprise. You know that. See, God was fully aware of what would happen in Pharaoh. And as the Lord encourages us, he's appointed the wicked for the day of evil. Doesn't that give you comfort? I love that. See, you know, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. They can go out and try to dig a pit, but I know my Lord. He'll have them fall into it. I know that I'm the apple of his eye. Brothers and sisters, you better settle down in that. Now are we the sons of God. I thank the Lord for his grace. I thank the Lord that I'm highly favored. I'm his son. Now, I want that divine fellowship by receiving grace. See, grace isn't the excuse to fail. Grace is the reason to praise him and yield and thank him. That's the ever-changing from glory to glory that goes on in our life when we really embrace how much he loves us, that we can never be separated for the love of God. He's not hovering over us with a club to smack us when we do something wrong. He's there calling out to us, come unto me, come unto me, come on. And it's so sweet because I never left his hand. The come unto me is just turning around and seeing his face. It's like the child. I always remember holding my own kids, and the Lord brought that to me. Is, you know, I'd watch Polly the same way, and they'd fuss and fight to get out, and they were just all upset, and you never know what they wanted. And finally, they just kind of turn around and saw Mama, and then it was all well. And I said, well, why did we have to do that for the last 15 minutes? Why do we have to do that for the last 15 months? You see what I'm saying? God help us to yield now. See, it's about now. Isn't it wonderful? Forgetting those things which are behind. See, leaving those things. And praise God, turning to him. See, if Pharaoh, brothers and sisters, knowing that God appoints the wicked for the day of evil, see, if Pharaoh was not so mighty and bold in his hatred toward Israel and his hatred towards God, God's deliverance wouldn't have been as mighty. See, that's what was so sweet, is that it was against everything. Nobody thought that Israel was getting out of there. But see, God promised. And he didn't put them in there for a short time. He put them in there for hundreds of years. Think of that. Long enough to where people were starting to forget. Maybe not even talking about the promises, but a few. Sound a little bit familiar today? About the promise, oh, the trump of God, the voice of the archangel. Are you listening for that? Very few are. But praise God for the remnants in the Word of God. And they're all about, and God shows us these things time and time again. And thank God for the ones that have been encouraged in grace, such as Moses and how he was touched by God to believe him. But see, God always does it this way, brothers and sisters. See, he uses the wicked for this purpose. He does. He always uses the wicked for these things. He uses the wicked to magnify, praise God, his faithfulness in them that believe. He'll do it time and time again. He did it back then and he does it today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't need to get bent out of shape in these things, brothers and sisters. I was every week, it seems, just trying to encourage, whether it's a minister that calls or different ones, that and God sometimes will stop me to give that time to him if there's something that I perceive that they might receive it. Don't get caught up in causes. We don't have time for that. I leave that to the world. I leave that to the religions. If you want to go after that, let me say, he said this, me, you have a little while. You have me just a little while. Praise God, get at his feet. Choose that better place. Let all the ones that want to be seen running around doing good, that's fine. There's a lot of palms in heaven to wave. Amen. That's why it's the innumerable multitude. And it's not to be arrogant. It's not to be, well, look at me, I'm so... No, look at him. He wants me to take that place, the place of complete dependency upon him, the place at his feet, the worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. And he'll bring the good works through, but that's not what we're caught up into or magnified in. Praise God, it's him. He's the good work, and he performs it all. And I thank God that he encourages us this way. So verse 18 goes on to say, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. See, God is a debtor to no one. Do you know that? God's a debtor to no one. He is only bound by his promises. Isn't that a wonderful thing? See, when he promises, it's impossible for God to lie. Aren't you thankful that his promises are yea and amen? He can't, he wouldn't, because he's perfect. He's God. There's no reason to ever go back. I said it, and it is so. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful how we can be confident in the love of God to us? And grace is all his. And see, those that are saved, praise God, that's us. We merely thank him for the mercy that he's given us. That's all he wants, is us to praise him and to thank him. What could I bring him for what he's done for me except my thanks? I couldn't bring him a present or this. What did he say? Bring me the lamb. Magnify my son. He did it from the very beginning. How wonderful. That's what God is pleased with, is his son. And praise the Lord. Where is his son tonight? Christ in me. He liveth in me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Surrender this life to him. That's bringing that to the Lord and thanking God again and praising him for the grace that he's given us in our lives. And then praise God that outpours even more grace to us, and grace upon grace and grace for grace. But then the opposite is true too, brothers and sisters. See, there will be no mercy and there will be no grace to the unbeliever. There will not. You stay in that state, only judgment and death. And again, all because of their choosing. That's right. And we have to know these things. Now going on to 19 and 20. And this is so profound here as we read this. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You know, I read those verses, and isn't that just the sounding of the wickedness today? Mocking God? You know, see, the sinner can't leave God alone. Just can't. Bothers him. Irritates him. Neutral you cannot be. You're either going to love me or you're going to hate me. It'll get down to that eventually. I told you as I... You know, and it's happened more than once with the different, and I'm going to say definite, godless religions of ones that I've spoke to. And, oh, they started off so nice and so kind and so loving and so this and so agreeable. And, okay, well, here's what the Word of God says. Because in these different cases, they say, oh, yes, we do accept this and this in the Bible. Well, they don't accept it, but they act as if they do. And I always remember that one man I said that said, well, you know, there was just God. There's nobody else. And I said, well, when God said, let us make man in our own image, who is he talking to? Just that one verse. And I said it very kindly to him. I really thought he was going to take my throat out. You could just see the rage because there was no answer to it except I'm not receiving the word, you see. God didn't have a problem in talking to himself. God was speaking to his son. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we thank the Lord for these things. And, you know, that's why I say, yeah, true science, God's revealed in it, if you want to see it. But if you don't, well, you can have eyes that see not and ears that hear not. But see, what we read here in 19 and 20, this is the response of the defiant heart. Literally, a smart aleck with God. And I just shudder to think. There's a sadness, an irritation, but more often than not, I think the love of God is working in us. We see souls, and oftentimes as ones are getting so defiant with the Lord, he gives me that precious picture of when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And that's not of me. I'd take them out and crack them just like Peter wanted to in a way, but you understand that that was just in self, and God really had to rebuke him in that and to say, no, that's not what we're doing here. And that was just his flesh, and that wasn't what the Spirit was about. But see, brothers and sisters, this is saying here, if in these defiant ones, they're saying, well, if God gives grace to some and not to others, why would he find fault that he denies grace to? You see that? And it just, it's even hard to even think of, but this is, again, what the Word of God brings out here. And God answers it very quickly, no way. No. It doesn't work that way. And more importantly, who are you, human, to talk back to God? You better get this. He's God. And I thank the Lord in ones that say, well, that Jesus thing, and to think he gave his own son, and that, see, in faith, that's the most beautiful thing there could ever be. But in defiance, you can call it whatever you want, but it's just abomination if you're going to mock it. But I look at him and say, well, if you do believe he's God, and if he's God, if this is the way he's chosen, this is it, because he's God. Amen. Wonderful. I believe he is God. I believe his word is true, and this is what he said. And he's true to his word. And time again, he has proven to us his word is true. And all of the prophecies have come forth to this point in time, except for the ones, praise God, that will come forth. His word will be done, and we're thankful to that. But brothers and sisters, his requirement is one thing. And the one requirement is faith in my son. And in that, he gave his son for all. He would that all men be saved. And isn't it wonderful the word of God says he wouldn't have one perish. That's how much he loved. And he gave that precious son, and that son died for all the sins of the world. All the sins. See, even hell, I love even thinking about this. Do you know hell, and it was never really intended for man. It was intended for the fallen angels. But see, God in his foreknowledge knew that, you know what? It's going to be a very full place. Very sad. And those in hell haven't seen nothing yet, because a lake of fire is prepared. So that's why I say we better pray. You see, this is all God's plan. He knew exactly what was in his first creation. And I'm talking about the first man, Adam. He knew Adam would fail. Praise God. See, he knew he would fail. And there was a purpose in he knowing that Adam would fail. Now, he didn't make Adam to sin, and he didn't make Adam sinful. But he knew fully well whom he had created would fail. See, that's the difference. He didn't will him to sin. He didn't make him that way. But he knew he would fail. And all for the divine purpose God had planned in his son. That's what's so perfect. That's what's so beautiful about the word of God and the plan of salvation. Everything that God did, everything that God has done, everything that God had created, praise the Lord, is to magnify his son. See, the second man, the last Adam, our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was the one that would manifest all authority and power, brothers and sisters. He was the one and only, the perfect and sinless man, the God-man. Nothing gets by God. In Acts 15:18, very quickly it says, in Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Okay. I got it. You're God. He's got it. Amen. By him were all things made. All things consist. All things hold together. Nothing was made without him. All powers that be come from him. Praise God. It's good. It really is good. God's got it. God willing. Isn't that wonderful, all these things? Now they make even a little bit praise God, a little bit more precious divine sense to us. Lord, you do know. Lord, thou knowest. Praise be to God. So since he is God and God of all, and since he is omnipotent, he's going to do as he pleases. And you go back to verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Well, sure he does. And why will he do this? Well, listen to this. This is how invested it is in Christ. It's beyond here, brothers and sisters, in verse 22 and 23. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Isn't that something, how the vessels of wrath, they're fitted for it? You talk about perfect fits. People that want to go that way, let me tell you something. You're going to be a perfect fit. The sinner cannot help but do what God said he would do. And if they go that way, they're going to be used. His son is going to be magnified in judgment even. It's going to be wonderful how this is all working out. But let's learn to praise him now and don't wait till we get there. Amen? See, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. This is the wife hath made herself ready. Amen? She is occupied like that. She's completely confident in that husband. Praise God, in her head. So here it is. Well, we can thank him and rejoice that the wrath are fitted to destruction. But I love verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Aren't you thankful you're a vessel of mercy? Isn't that so anti-man? You know, really think of that. Well, I'm a vessel of mercy. You know, somebody, you know what I'm saying? They want to be a vessel of good works or a vessel of triumph or a vessel of the... No, I'm a vessel of mercy. I've got all victory in him. Isn't that wonderful? Because he won it all. Hallelujah. It's finished. And praise God, I'm a vessel of mercy. And in that mercy, now I'm a son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Enjoined. Hallelujah. All the privileges. Praise God. He sees me just as his son. Oh, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for that life. But you see, brothers and sisters, the Lord here is what it's saying, has endured all of this defiance. Think of this, all of that. You think again of the cross, how God the Father had to turn, enduring all these things and continuing all this defiance and this rebellion, ungodly behavior of the old man. But he did it for purpose, for his own purpose. And you know that he would have just wiped it all out if it not had been for glory's purpose in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, yes. Vessels of mercy. How wonderful that we rejoice and are thankful how God has purposed this glory in us. See, remember, we've been reading from the 8th chapter. Remember how you talk about light upon light upon light upon light. That's when he brought us in and joint heirs together, if so be you suffer together with Christ. Joint heirs, sunc leronimus, is husband and wife. Okay? And then from that moment, he said, because I have a plan. Matter of fact, all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. These vessels of mercy that will grow up into him in all things. That'll just take all the mercy and all the grace and just keep growing in it. How magnificent. I prayed, God, not a hair on your body is sitting down right now. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters, how he's just been building this and building this. And this is what this 9th chapter is again and what God is bringing out to us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, purpose that can only be built and grown through the trying of your faith. This is how beautifully he's got this orchestrated. God help us. We do not suffer as them that have no hope. Matter of fact, by the grace of God, as we receive Paul's gospel, we glory in our infirmities because it's that infirmity. It's when I'm weak that, and in that infirmity that the very power of Christ rests upon me. Amen. And this is this plan here, and this is exactly what he's telling us, is that these vessels that think that they're getting away with this and putting down and proclaiming their ungodliness and, again, and it does hurt me. You can't pray. You can't have a Bible. You can't profess the name of Jesus. You can do anything else you want, but anything to do with Jesus. Yeah, because the Bible tells you so. This isn't a surprise. I'm not condoning that action, but brothers and sisters, he tells us it's coming and it's here. And he said, when you see these things begin to happen and start to appear and all those things, what, go and get a big bunch of people and march? Did he say, well, wait a second, we got to build buildings and get organized to stop it? He said, look up. And those that are looking up, I'll tell you what, we're going to be out of here. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I'm sad. I am. I'm sad these things. I mean, the household that I was raised in, thanks be to God for it. My daddy was a World War II vet, all of my uncles and different things, and knowing different ones from all of the, whether it was the Korean or the Vietnam, all of these ones that have given their lives for freedom and all of this. But you can see that even in man's thought of freedom, and even in man's goodness, and even in a republic or a democracy and all that, let me tell you something, that doesn't mean you're going after God. And I've preached this to people, and they say, oh, well, we've got to fight for this. Let me tell you something. God showed he would raise up a man, Joseph, in the heart of Egypt, with no encouragement and everybody against him. God shown that he can raise up a man, whether it was with pharaohs or Nero's, Caesar's, as Nero. It didn't matter. Out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. You're going to go all the way through this stuff. Brothers and sisters, look up. Look up, he's coming soon. And those that are watching, looking for him, he will appear that second time. And I thank God for that, that trump is about upon us. But see here, this is what is so wonderful, brothers and sisters, that it's in that trying of our faith, the victories that we have in Jesus over temptation, the complete relying of these weakened vessels upon the strength of the Son to overcome. That's what's building the glory in our life. It couldn't happen without it. That's why the Lord divinely knew what he would use Satan for. A perfect tempter. Oh, have you seen my servant Job? Huh? Dummy, I'll tap you. I'll show him to you. Oh, yeah, you go at him, do it all you want. I know what he's going to do. He's going to trust me. Though he slay me, will I trust him. Hallelujah. That's our Lord. Jesus.
When you're empty, because I'm going to fill you.
Praise.
I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Yes.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. But you see, brothers and sisters, the whole purpose is for him to make known, as it says here, the riches of his glory, hallelujah, on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Praise God. See, we are built for glory. We were made for glory. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's the purpose, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That all men be saved and come to the full knowledge, the complete, the intimate, as a husband and wife knowledge, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful. But see, brothers and sisters, these vessels of mercy, what it's speaking of here is the new creation. And as we go on with this, it's the fully grown sons. And this is referring, as we mentioned just a moment ago, brought out in the 8th chapter, the manifestation of the sons of God. See, that moment of all moments, the event of the ages, when he will have his wife. And how wondrous, praise God, that this was the intent in ages past, the very plan. And I love this, when God said, it's not good for man to live alone. Now, obviously, we know he used that in a sense for Adam, but most importantly, in its heights, he was speaking of his son, that he would have a wife someday. And praise be to God that his wife is being readied right now. His son was not to live alone. He would have her for his name's sake. And here she is, praise God, coming out of this time, brothers and sisters, that we are in, out of every kindred and tongue and nation. Verse 24, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Praise the Lord for this. 25 and 26, as he saith also in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. This is wonderful. Now, this Osee here is speaking of Hosea. And in Hosea 1:10 and 2:23, it speaks there of the remnant that will be restored. As well, brothers and sisters, to the Gentiles, I love it as well, because there's many manifold meaning in these things. We weren't his people. But at the same time, praise God, it says that they will be my people, for his own received him not. And I thank the Lord how over and over in the Word of God, this was typed in many different ways. You think of Rahab, think of the wife of Joseph. I love how God was speaking to us and encouraging us that not only were the Gentiles going to be offered this place, but brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us a better thing. Joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. This is the time and the place that God has brought us into. In verse 27, let's go ahead and just read that to the end. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Esaias has said, except the Lord of Sabaoth, and that's the Lord of hosts, what it means there, had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Praise God. Now, we'll close this with these thoughts. There's a burden in my heart for the Jew. God has brought certain ones into my life, and as the man I'm going to go see. But see, brothers and sisters, God's word is true. They had turned from the Lord. They had eyes that see not. They have ears that hear not. And when that happens, God will just turn you over to your own lusts. And how was a type of judgment that so shortly fell upon the Jews in that time, shortly after what we're reading here, the Romans came in and destroyed the temple, scattered the Jews. So it was showing again in a type and in a shadow what God's going to do. But praise God, that was after many years. I thank the Lord, as it says here, when the Lord deems this time, it's going to be cut short. Yeah, it's going to be real short, as it says here. I love how he says it. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. See, when they cry peace and safety, and I think we're about at that time, there's going to be sudden destruction. And praise God that this time is upon us. And I love the Lord that he's encouraging us in this. But see, he will have his remnant because he is faithful to his word. I thank the Lord that, praise God, as you read through there in Hosea, how beautiful it is, that remnant that's restored to him. God will have his wife, Israel, and it's the father, which is so wonderful. But this testimony of grace to us, brothers and sisters, is so wonderful here. Israel's failure Know this, brothers and sisters. Israel's failure was because they tried to attain righteousness in their own strength. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen because that wouldn't magnify Jesus. It wouldn't magnify the Lamb. It wouldn't magnify grace. And God help us that we get this warning, this true encouragement, brothers and sisters. What a plague self-righteousness is to our life. It is. It makes us cold. It does. That's why the Bible says the Lord sees the proud afar off. And when we're self-righteous in any way, shape, or form, it's a pride because we're not yielding to what God and His Word wants for our lives. And His Word is His Son. And these ones, as it says here, they went after the ceremonial law. They went after traditions. They went after the observance of days. Now, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I know a lot of God's precious people that do some of those things that think somehow they're getting closer to God by keeping those things. Do you see how hurtful it is to the Lord? He just wants you to love His Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is what we need to be about, brothers and sisters, not caught up into all of these things. See, He just wants us to simply embrace Christ. And as it goes on here, see, all have met the stone. I love that. All have. That rock, let me tell you something. It even goes on to say that Paul's gospel there in Colossians has been preached to every creature under heaven. Let me tell you something. We're without excuse. And there is no excuse. And righteousness is one way, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. And as it finishes up, and I love this, us Gentiles who are alienated from righteousness. See, we didn't even realize our guilt in a lot of ways. I love that. And we were ignorant of a lot of these traditions and all that, and yet obtained the greatest of mercy and grace. And you know what? We attained not only righteousness, brothers and sisters, but the Bible says even a better thing. Praise God. You know, I hear different ones. Oh, I wish I lived in Moses' time. I wish I could see those things. And all. You know, I see those things. I do. With the eyes of God. Praise the Lord. This word lives. I thank God for that. But I wouldn't trade places. Oh, no. See, we got a better thing. We got exceeding great and precious promises. Even the opportunity to wear the crown of the exalted rank of righteousness. Think of that. Isn't that wonderful? The exalted rank of righteousness. Oh, the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's why we cry out, even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. This is ours, brothers and sisters. And I thank the Lord for this. And that's why we do. We praise Him. And know it. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. Now, let Him grow up. Feed Him. Quit like a child. You don't need to be that spoiled little thing. It's time to grow up, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Put away those childish things, as the Word of God says. Yes, the mature sons arise. I thank God for this. I was just encouraged, in closing, I was encouraged speaking with a sister this week, too. And God's very direct with us. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to grow up now. And to the mature sons, and I was thankful how she was pointing this out and just rejoicing. You know, He doesn't just go, oh, come on, it's all right. He says, arise. He says, arise. You know what happens when you look at your myrrh too long and mess with that and, oh, poor is me? He leaves. He was at the door and he was gone. I want to win him. And by the grace of God, I want you to win him too. I'll tell you, great faith sometimes, my goodness, it's hard to stomach for a lot of people, isn't it? I found that out with some that I observed and marked that went before me. People would say that they were arrogant sometimes. Sometimes it's, oh, well, you just think you're something. No, I know I'm something in Christ. Huh? God help our unbelief, huh? Confidence in Him. It's time. Sons, arise. Okay, let's stand and be dismissed.